Okay, we're beginning here in Bet Amud Aleph by the beginning of Masechet Pesachim. Before we start the Masechta, just a quick introduction to the Masechta. First of all, the way that the Masechta is laid out is actually laid out in a manner in which you actually interact with the mitzvot of Pesach. And that is based on the timeline of coming into Pesach. The timeline begins with the first Mishnah here on the night of Erev Pesach, the night that you have the Chiyuv of Bdika. So once it's dealing with the Chiyuv Bdika, it deals with the Chiyuv Bdika and the Chiyuv Biur, Biur Chametz and Bitul Chametz, which are all part of a singular mitzvah, according to many Rishonim. And therefore, that's the first mitzvah that you're going to bump into when you're entering into Pesach. So that's the first three prokim in Pesachim deal with that issue, which is the issue of Chametz ala Pesach, Chametz on Erev Pesach, and then Chametz on Pesach. Once they already discuss the issues of Chametz and the Isur Chametz that's associated with the Bdiga, the Bitul, and Erev Pesach, then they discuss the whole nature of the Isur Chametz, as well as the Chiyuv Matzot that are associated with them. Then, the Gemara moves on in the fourth parak to Makom Shenagu, which is the Minhag to have an Isur Melacha on Erev Pesach itself. And that is the next stopping point along the Mitzvot of Erev Pesach, is once we've gone through the night of Pesach, we move to the day of Pesach. And the nature of the day of Pesach is Makom Shenagu about the Isur Melacha. After that, we move to the afternoon of Erev Pesach. On the afternoon of Erev Pesach is the Hakravat Korban HaPesach. And that is what the fifth parak through the ninth parak deal with, is the issue of Korban HaPesach itself. And in dealing with Korban HaPesach, it also in the ninth parak deals with Pesach Sheni, but the Korban itself. And then the tenth parak of Pesachim deals with the night, the first night of Pesach, which is the Leil HaSeder. So basically the Masechta starts here in the first parak with the night of the 14th, the night of Erev Pesach, which is the first mitzvot that you bump into going into Pesach. And then it concludes with the 10th parak, which is the night of Pesach itself, the night of the 15th, which incorporates the Seder. That's as far as the structure of the Masechet as a whole. In addition to that, the beginning here, when we're talking about Chametz is unusual in a number of aspects, and that's why there's so much discussion about Chametz itself. Number one is, Chametz is Asur Be'achila. One may not eat Chametz for the entirety or the duration of Pesach, as well as a period or a time frame before that. That will be a discussion of the Gemara, is how much before that, or what is that Isur associated with. That's first of all. Second of all, it also has, according to many, an Isur Hana'ah that is associated with it. Again, we'll see that in the further Prakim about how they learn, or where we know that it has an Isur Hana'ah associated with it. So not only is it Asur Be'achila in eating it, one may also not get Hana'ah, get any benefit from Chametz. Then we have to look at Chametz. Chametz manifests itself in many ways. As Chametz, there's Se'or. And that can manifest itself both as being pure Chametz or pure Se'or, as well as possibly being something that's Ayidei Atarovet, or Chametz Nuksha, which is Chametz that's mixed in with other items. Chametz that is possibly inedible, but it's still used in some other role or some other function. And that will be dealt with in the Gemara. So that's Isur Achila and Isur Hana. But if it was just that, it would be a pretty standard type of Isur Achila and Isur Hana. It has two additional aspects to it, this Isur Chametz, which makes it unusual, and that's what brings up all the opinions of the Rishonim as to how exactly does that get integrated. The first of which is that there is, with the lav of Chametz, or the Isur to eat the Chametz, includes an Isur Karet, which is that it's not just a plain lav, it's not a plain lotase, but it also involves Karet. We have other items like that. We have Achilat Adam, Achilat Chilev, which also have a chiyuv karet for eating them. And chametz is similar in that way to those items, that it has a chiyuv karet. But in addition to that chiyuv karet, the chametz has an additional item, which is that not only is it an isur chametz with karet, but it also has this requirement of tashbitu. One has to eliminate the chametz from their possession. Tashbitu means to destroy it, to eliminate it. And in addition to that, there's another aspect to it, which is that there is a requirement that chametz be bal yira'eh, bal yimatzei. It cannot be seen, and it cannot be found. Again, the Gemara will interpret exactly what that means. But because of that, chametz takes on a different standing or in a different category than any other isur. Because other isurim have parts or pieces of what chametz has, but no isur has everything that chametz has. That is, number one, it has an isur achila and isur hana. Number two is it's a chiyuv karet when you do eat it. Number three is that there's a requirement to tashbitu, to eliminate it from your possession. And then there's an isur, ba yira'eh, ba yimatzei. So it might be that these different items are derivatives of each other. It might be the chiyuv karet causes the need for tashbitu, or ba yira'eh, ba yimatzei. or that Tashbitu is a derivative of Bayre Bayimatse. And that the Rishonim argue about, and we'll see that in the Gemara as we progress through about the different opinions amongst the Rishonim with regards to this. The main psukim that deal with this are found in, first of all, Shmot Perek Yud Bet, which is the original tzivoy of the Korban HaPesach. And there it says in Shmot Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayab Hayom Hazeh Lachem Lezikaron, V'chagutem Oto Chag Lashem Ledorotichem, Chukat Olam Techagu, Shivat Yamim Matzot Techelu, Ach, Vayom HaRishon Tashbitu Seor Mibatechem. So there's a Chiyub Tashbitu to be eliminate the Seor from your houses. Ki, Kol Oel Chel Chametz, anybody who eats Chametz, V'nichreta Nefeshayim Yisrael. There is a chiyuv karet, miyom rishon vad yom shvi, from the first day until the seventh day, one who consumes chametz has a chiyuv karet associated with them. Skipping from there to pasuk yulchet, barishon barbatzer yom lachodesh be'erev tochlu matzot, you eat matzot ad yom lachad v'esrim, till the 21st, lachodesh ba'arev. Shivat yamim seor lo yimatzei bebateichem, so that is ba'yimatzei, seor may not be found in your possession. Ki, kol ochel machmetzet, anybody who eats chametz, v'nichrita nefeshayim, adat Yisrael, bagir v'zerach haaretz. Anybody who consumes chametz is chayav karet. Here's the second chiyuv karet that's associated with chametz. The Gemara will discuss why there are so many chiyuvei karet, and why we need these different psukim that tell us about it. Kol machmetzet lo tochelu, b'chol mashvetechem tochlu matzot. You may not eat chametz, you must eat matzah. So that's far as Perek Yud Bet in Shmot is found in Parshat Bo. At the end of Parshat Bo, in one of the parshiot that's actually found in the Tefillin, which is the Parsha of Kadesh Li Kol Bechor and Shmot Perek Yud Gimel, inside of that, in Pasuk Yvav, it begins, Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot, V'yom HaShvi Chag LaHashem. Matzot Ye'achel et Shivat Yamim, must eat matzah for the 7 days, V'lo Ye'ra'el Lecha Chametz, V'lo Ye'ra'el Lecha Seor Bechol Gvulecha. You may not see Chametz, you may not see Seor in all of your boundaries and all of your possession. And then the famous pasuk that comes after that is "Vigato levincha b'yomahu lemor." Before ze asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. So here we have the restriction in that Perek Yud Gimel of lo yira'eh lecha chametz. We had in Yud Bet lo yimatzeh. Here we have lo yira'eh. We saw in Perek Yud Bet the isur karet that is associated with chametz. And then in addition to that, in Parshat Re'eh, where it also discusses this issue of chametz in Sefer Dvarim. There also we find this idea of lo yira'eh lecha chametz, which is in Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk Bet, Zavachta Pesach Leshem Akracha Tzon Vakar, Makom Hashem Vakar Hashem Lashakein Shmo Sham, Lo Tochal Alav Chametz Shiv'at Yamim Tochal Alav Matzot Lechem Oni. You can't have chametz, you can't have matzah, Ki b'chibazon yatzata meretz Mitzrayim, Namat Zizkord Yom Tzeitcha Meretz Mitzrayim Ko Yamei Chayecha, Velo yira'eh lecha tzor b'chol gvucha Shiv'at Yamim, So not only is there a restriction against eating chametz for the 7 days, there's also another restriction here. So you have an additional time of Bal Yira'eh that's also found in Sefer Dvarim. Those are the psukim that tell us about this unusual character of chametz. Number one, that it has an Isur Achila and Isur Hana'at. Number two is that it has an Isur Karet associated with the Achilat chametz. Number three is as a requirement of Tashbitu to be eliminated from one's possession. And then the last, which is that there is a restriction of Bayira'eh, Bayimatzeh, that it may not be seen or found in your possession on Pesach itself. So with that background, we're going to begin the first Mishnah in Pesachim of Bet Amud Aleph, or the Arba'asar, or where Gemara is going to go through a long discussion about exactly what the word or is. They're going to try to bring proofs. In the end, the Gemara will conclude that or means night. So it says or the Arba'asar on the night of the 14th. You should just know that or the Basar doesn't necessarily tell you which night. Because sometimes in the Mishnah, when it says Or L'Arbasar, it would mean the night coming into the 14th. And sometimes Or L'Arbasar means the night exiting the 14th. The Ran says you really can't tell. The word Or is used in both of those contexts. The way to know in the end is actually the context and when it's written. And since here in the context, we'll see some of the proofs. It's clear that it's talking about the night of the 14th. And the night of the 14th, meaning the night of Erev Pesach, that is when Bodkim et HaChametz Lo Aner. One checks for Chametz by candlelight. Kol makom shein machnisim bo chametz, any location where one does not bring in chametz, ein tzarich bidika, that you don't need to check it. So b'me amru, if you don't have to check in places where there's no chametz, then what exactly are you checking for? Where is the bidika? Bidika is in places where you do bring in chametz. One of those locations is the martef, the cellar. Because the butler or the waiter might go during the meal down to the cellar to bring up a new barrel of wine, and doing so he might take bread down there with him. If he takes bread down there with him, then it's a place that bread is found or chametz is found, and you have to check it. How you check it? Machloket. Bet shurot bir martef. You have to check 2 rows within the cellar. Mahom shemachnisim bo chametz, a place where you bring in chametz. Beit Shemai omrim, beit shirot al pnei kol amartef. You have to take two rows across the entirety of the cellar. Betel omrim, shtei shirot achitzonot shein el yonot. The two outer ones, which are the upper ones. This will be subject to a machloket amuraim in the Gemara, exactly how to explain the positions of Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. So I want to spend a lot of time now explaining them, because we will get to that in the Gemara, as to define what it means, Beit Shirot, or Beit Shirot, achitzonot, shehein, elyonot. Now Rashi says something on this Mishnah, which is extremely controversial, and actually defines the position of many of the Rishonim with regards to Bdika, Bitul, and Biur Chametz. Rashi says over here, what's the reason that you're bodkim et chametz? Why do you have to check for chametz? Why are you doing bedika for chametz? Rashi says, shelo yavor alav bebal yireh o bal yimatzeh. You do bedika to prevent you from being in violation of the isur, bal yireh, bal yimatzeh. So chametz will not be found in your possession during Pesach. Tosafot right away says, I don't understand why Rashi is saying that this is a din deoraita, the din min haTorah, that you must do bedika. Is that really true? Because the Gemara says later on, that a bodek tzarech shivatel. Anybody who does bidika must also do bitul. And the Gemara also says, umi deoraita bebitul ba'amasagi. That if you just simply do bitul, that's enough min haTorah. So min haTorah, all you need is bitul. You don't need bidika at all. So then how could Rashi over here suggest that bidika is min haTorah when bitul is sufficient? And that's why Tosafot rejects Rashi's interpretation of the Mishnah. He says, bidika is simply an addition midrabanan. It's a rabbinic addition to the halacha. But when it comes to bitul, bitul is what you need midoraitos. So when the Torah says tashbitu, according to Tosfot, means do a bitul. How that bitul works, we'll get to later on in the Gemara. Whether that bitul works mishom hefker, or works in some other manner, that we'll get to when we reach that sugya in the Gemara. But bitul is what you need to do in order to remove it from your possession. Bidika, the Gemara will tell us later on why you need bidika in addition to bitul, because bidika does something that protects or ensures that the bitul goes through. So that's the position of Tosafot. So Tosafot says, then why do we need bidika? So he says, v'nira l'ri, that hichmiru hachamim libdok chametz ulivaro. So why were the chachamim machmir? If bitul is enough, why do they require also bidika and srefa? Shelo yavo lochlo, said he won't come to eat it. So he won't come to interact with it and eat it, because we're afraid there's a chiyuv karet that's associated with it. And we don't want you to eat chametz. So we say do a bdika and a biur, so we won't have any temptation or any issue with coming to eat chametz. But then he asks the obvious question, then why is it chametz is unique or different than any other achila or any other chiyuv karet? V'atam shichmiru kan tvei mi bishari surei hana'a. Why were they more machmir by chametz than any other isur chana'ah? Or why were they more machmir here than any other isur karet? Because mishum de chametz mutar kol hashana. So Tosafot says that chametz has another unusual property, which is that the remainder of the year, chametz is totally mutar. It's only for this 7 or 8 day period that chametz is problematic. And so since it's something that's not normally asur, not something that you normally separate from, there is a much higher likelihood that you will interact with it and come to eat it. With other isurim, whether it's basar b'chalav, whether it's yayin nesach, all these items, they are asur and they remain asur forever. There is no time period when they're mutar. So because of that, chametz has this unusual standard or unusual standing, and that's why Tosafot says we do bdika and biur, in addition to the bitul, which would have been sufficient, because of the unusual nature of chametz, which we pointed out in the psukim. That is the position of Tosafot, who disagrees with Rashi about bdika being deoraita. The Ran, in defense of Rashi, actually explains and has an interesting shita over here. The Ran, Al-Arif, says that the truth is the Torah allows you to do tashbitu in order to rid yourself of chametz. Tashbitu can manifest itself in one of two ways. Tashbitu can mean bivaer, to eliminate it, to burn it, to get rid of it, and that's accomplished by bidika and biur. The other possibility of accomplishing the chiyuv asei of tashbitu is to do bitul. Is to be the vatel et achametz. So you have one of those two options. Whichever one you do first is the oraita, is the Torah accomplishment of tashbitu. The other one is done in order to protect or to avoid problems. And that is, for instance, if you did bitul by itself, so then bitul would work. Min haTorah, you'd be completely fine. So why did Chazal then say to you, do biur and do bidika? That's because of the fear that even if you do bitul, then when you come upon chametz during Pesach itself, what are you going to do? You're going to say, wow, this is a nice loaf of bread. And for that moment that you delay or tarry in getting rid of the chametz and think about eating it, then you've undermined the bitul. So we don't want you to bump into Shemi Metzei Gluska Yififiya. Maybe you'll find a nice loaf of bread, a nice piece of cake, and all of a sudden you'll be like, wow, this is really good, and you might come to eat it. You might undermine your bitul. So because of that, Chazal required beyond bitul, also a bdika and biur, to avoid problems, because when you're dealing with bitul, it's all about kavanah. It's a person's intent to rid himself of the chametz, because you're not physically ridding yourself of the chametz. So because of that, we add on this additional requirement to rid yourself physically of the chametz. That's one path. The other path is to do bidika and biur. Bidika and biur are great. If you do bidika and biur, you got rid of all the chametz in your house. But what happens now if you bump into chametz on Pesach? Well, if you bump into chametz on Pesach, that's fine too, because all you have to do is burn it. If you rid yourself of the chametz immediately when you find it on Pesach, you're okay. Our fear is that someone may not do it immediately. If they don't do it immediately, then there'll be automatically violation of Bayrei Bayam Matzei in a second. So we tell them to do bitul in addition to that to protect them, that if they do find something in Pesach and they don't burn it right away, they have the bitul to back them up so that they actually removed it from their possession. So what the Ran says is, whichever you do first accomplishes the din doraita. Bidika and biur can be the doraita, or bitul can be the accomplishment doraita of tashbitu. But in addition to that, the Rabbanan reinforced that when you did bitul, you have to do bidika, or if you do bidika, you have to do bitul in order to protect against situations where they may not work perfectly. And that's why we have the other one becoming additional to Rabbanan. And that's why he says, Rashi says here, Bidika over here is, because he's doing here Bidika at a time where he has yet to do Bitul. And since he has yet to do Bitul, it is accomplishing the removal of Now, that might be the connection between the Chiyuv Karet, the Tashbitu, Achila, and Bayireh Bayimatzeh, which is Tosafot sees that the Chiyuv Karet is associated with the Achila. And that's the way it's presented in the Torah. And that's where he sees as the Tashbitu being a means to get rid of the problem of Achila. And that's why you do Bitul. You do Bitul to get rid of that problem of Achila. But that's not sufficient, because there are chances, Shemi Matzei, Gluska, Yififiya. And because of that, he wants to add on Bidika, Midrabanan, to protect you against coming to the problem of Achila. Whereas for the Ran, the need to do Tashbitu is twofold. You need to do Tashbitu to rid yourself of the problem of Achila, but you also have to do Tashbitu to rid yourself of the problem of Bayireh Bayimatzei. And therefore, the Tashbitu can be either Bidika Biur or Bitul. Each one of them does a better job at different parts of this. One is better at taking care of the problem of Bayireh Bayimatzei. One of them is better at taking care of the problem of maybe you'll come to eat it. So therefore, Chazal, in taking Tashbitu, said, whatever you do, the right to take care of this problem, then you have to do Midrabanan, the other item, in order to ensure that we've captured both issues, the issue of Achila, as well as Bayireh Bayimatzei. So that's important Machloket Rishonim that will come up again as we move through the first Perek. So it's good to keep in mind this idea of whether Bidika has a manifestation Doraita, or is Bidika always a Din Dirabanan. So you might ask the obvious question, my or. What is the meaning of the word or here? Rav Huna Amar Nage, Rav Huna Amar Lele. So Rav Huna says it means daytime, and Rav Yudah says it means lele, it means nighttime. Kasalka datcho, we think now, demanda amar nage mamash. The one who says that we're talking about daytime literally means daytime. Manda amar lele, lele mash. And whoever says nighttime literally means nighttime. Now the truth is, by lele, there's no question. Rashi actually eliminates this from the Gersa and says it's unnecessary. Of course, the one who says it's nighttime means that it's nighttime. But the Gemara said it about nage. The one who says day means literally daytime. And that's what the assumption of the Gemara is here. Tosafot leaves the Gersa in and says it's no big deal because it's just parallel structure. They said it because they were talking about the one who said Nage, they also mentioned in Lele. So that's why our Gemaras still have this Gersa inside of them. Meiteve, is that really true? Baboker or Vanashim Shuchu. This is found at the end of Parshat Miketz. When the brothers are departing from Yosef, they were in Mitzrayim, they ate by Yosef, they filled up their bags, and now they're about to leave. And Yosef tells them to hide the goblet inside the bag of Binyamin, and then they send them off. So it says, in describing their send-off, it says, Aboker or, Vanashim Shulchu. And in the morning, it was or, and then the people were sent, Alma, or Yomamahu. It's from there, it seems pretty clear that or is daytime, meaning that Aboker or here is being defined as a noun, the noun being daytime. So in the morning, it was or, meaning it was daytime, and then they went off to their way, they headed back home. So here the Gemara says or is a noun, it's being used to mean daytime. So miktiv ha-or boker. It doesn't use the term or like a noun. It doesn't say that the or was when the light first came out or when it was morning. It says that boker or ktiv. It says that the boker had light, in a sense. Kemanda amar, tafra nahar. It's as if the person said that this is the light of day. Light of the day has broken. So now it's not being used anymore as a noun, but rather the or there is either an adjective or part of a noun phrase, which is that the boker he'ir, that the morning became light, or the light broke during the morning. It's the light of morning. Similar to the way that it's used by Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that a person should always go in to a city, Bikitov, and leave a city, Bikitov. Now, Kitov is the terminology that's used by Hashem when he sees, by Elohim et Or, when Hashem sees the Or, and he says it's Kitov. So over here means Kitov means light. So it's a euphemism for light, which is a person should always go into a city while it's still light out, and should leave the city when it is light, in that they should reach the city before nightfall, and they should leave the city after it's already light outside. As Rashi says over here, the reason is, mipnei chayot to pnei listim, because of the wild animals and the marauders that are out there. A person shouldn't travel at night. They're risking their lives when they do that. Now, Tosafot points out that it seems to be out of order. It says, le'imam yikanes, first he goes into the city and then leaves, which would indicate that it's talking about another city, not the city in which he lives. Because if it was the city in which he lives, he would first leave the city, and then he would return to the city. And that's backwards. So Tosafot in the end says, no, it applies both to the city in which you live, as well as another city. And that this requirement of leaving during daylight and returning during daylight has both of those meanings. Number one is that when for your own city, you have to leave during daylight because you want to not be in danger of bumping into mazikim. So we say to go out at daylight and return before daylight. With other cities, there's an additional issue of coming back into the city before nightfall, which is that you also have to find lodging for the night. So in instances where there are no mazikin, or you're a large group and you don't worry about mazikin, we still say that you should go in mipnei ha'pchatim. There are these lowlives in the cities who are going to be problematic for you, and we don't want you to be involved with them. We want you to get proper lodging and not have to be involved with these lowlives. And therefore, we say that both, whether it's from your own city or whether another city, you should leave when it's light out, and you should return when it's light out. But you see from here is that the term that they're using, aboker or, it's not saying that or as a noun, but boker or means when there is light in the morning, then a person should go on their way. And that's the halacha that's actually being learned. But we learn in the Gemara in Baba Kamal, that aloma adkenes adam b'chitov v'yetzei b'chitov. Meitabe. Well, we have the pasuk from Shmuel Bet, which says, or boker izrach shamesh. So this is towards the end of Shmuel Bet in the Divrei David Achronim. It says, uchachor boker, just like the or in the morning, izrach shamesh, that the sun will rise. Alma or yamamahu. Again, we see or being used as a noun, which is uchor. The daytime, boker, that's when the morning breaks, izrach shamesh, and the sun rises. So it says again, no, it's not a noun here, miktiv or boker. It's not saying what's the definition of or means boker. Rather, uke or boker ktiv. It's either, again, it's a noun phrase, an adjective that's being used here. Or boker means like the light of day. Or like the light of the morning. V'hachi gamar. Or boker b'lam hazeh. That the way that the light breaks in this world, kein zrichat shemesh l'tzadikim, is the equivalent of the zrichat shemesh for the tzadikim, the olam haba. Which means that in dawn, in this world, where you just see rays of light, that dawn for the tzaddikim will be kizricha deshemesh, the equivalent of sunrise. So the brightness of the sun or the light for the tzaddikim will be so much greater than it is in this world. So it'll be an accelerated amount of light or a lot more light. And that's what's meant by the pasuk here by David HaMelech. The way that the experience of dawn will be, latid lavo, will be the equivalent of sunrise in olam hazeh. Meitve, it says in the pasuk in creation in Breshit, vayikra lukim or yom. God called or daytime. Alma or yomamahu. Again, it sounds like or, that word is the noun, and that is yom, and that's the equivalent of being daytime. But it says, no, achigamar. Lime'ir uva karo yom. So the item comes and shines, Hashem called daytime. Elamiato, what are you going to do with the remainder of the puzzle? With the choshech karo lailo. To darkness he called night. Lemachshich uva karo lailo. He says, you're going to say, oh, what the machshich uva, if it's as it gets dark, that is what's called nighttime. Hakaimalan, we already established, I'd say to Chavim, yomamahu, that until the stars come out, that is considered to be daytime. So even while it's getting dark, that is still considered to be daytime. And we have the same thing on the other side, which is or boker. The Gemara was comfortable in saying, what does it mean, or boker? It means that as it becomes light, that is daytime. As the light breaks out, that's daytime. So now Gemara is going to say, if that's the case, then the opposite is going to be true as well. As it gets dark, it should be nighttime. Gemara says it's not the case because Ad Seidu Kochavim is still considered to be Yomamahu. What's clear from this Gemara is that daytime is from Alot HaShachar, from dawn, until Tzeit HaKochavim, until the Tzeit HaKochavim. Now that's interesting, because in other Gemaras it's not so obvious that fact. Now, the Gemara in Megillah brings a pasuk from Ezra, in Nehemiah, that explains that when they were building in Yerushalayim, that they used to go out to the work Mi'alot HaShachar Tzeit HaKochavim, and it's pretty clear from there that that's what they considered to be daytime. So, if that's the case, why do we have in other places in Shas, we have a suffix where the Shkia is the beginning of night versus Tzeit HaKochavim? Why here is the Gemara so obvious? So the Re answers, interestingly enough, he says that the Pshitele, the Gemara, that Tzeit HaKochavim Yomamahu, and that is Lokasha, Mihau Lutanae, the Parak Mabem of the game, like the Machloka Tanaim that we saw back in Gemara and Shabbat and Mabem of the game, that there they have opinions about exactly what is considered to be Tzeit HaKochavim or the end of the day, because he says, Deinanu became a Tzeit HaKochavim. The problem is not whether Tzeit HaKochavim is nighttime, it's a question of what is called Tzeit HaKochavim. It says that when you have these Machloka Tanaim in these other places, they're not arguing about whether Tzeit HaKochavim is nighttime. Everybody agrees that it's nighttime. The question is, what is Tzeit HaKochavim? And that's what the argument is about. It's not about whether Tzeit HaKochavim is the end of the day. It's just a question of when does that happen and when does Tzeit HaKochavim happen. So that's an interesting way for the read to deal with it. It actually happens to be lopsided, which is that the Gemara knows for sure, and this is the way that we pass on Halacha, that Alot HaShachar is the beginning of the day. And everybody agrees with that, that that's the beginning of the day. B'di'eved, if you do anything that's supposed to be done in the daytime after Alot HaShachar, you're Yotze. Because that is the beginning of the day. The reason we don't let you do things Me'alot HaShachar is because we don't want people to make a mistake. It's easy to make a mistake regards to Alot HaShachar, so Chazal established that everything starts from Zrichat HaShemesh, from the Netzach Hama, from the sunrise. But B'di'eved, from Alot HaShachar, everybody agrees it's going to be daytime. That is not necessarily true when it comes to nighttime. There isn't a consensus opinion as to when nighttime really happens. Like, for instance, Tzeit HaKochavim, that's obviously nighttime, but there's a Gzeira D'Rabbanan to do it at Shkia so we don't get mixed up. We don't have any such concept by Shkia and Tzeit HaKochavim. But rather, whenever the nightfall is, and that's a machloka that really runs from prior to Shkia all the way to the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, which go out to 90 minutes after Shkia or sunset, you have opinions that range that whole area as possibly being the time of Tzeit HaKochavim, the time of the termination of the day or the end of the day. So even though the Rig over here kind of wants to balance between them and say, oh, the same din should be true by Lot HaShachar and Tzeit HaKochavim, it's just we don't know when Tzeit HaKochavim is, it's not so clear that that's the case, and it's the halacha doesn't reflect it that way. Everybody's in agreement about Alot HaShachar being the beginning of the day. Nobody's in agreement about the end of the day and whether really Tzeit HaKochavim is the end of the day. The Re terms it in a way and says, yes, everybody agrees it's Tzeit HaKochavim, we just don't know when that Tzeit HaKochavim is. Elohachi Kamar. So this is what it means. Kariya Rachmana the Nehora, Shem called the luminary or the light of the day, Ufakte HaMitzvata the Yomama, and then he commanded it to be there during the daytime. And then God called over the darkness, and he says, you work at night. So the first approach we thought was that Or meant a noun. Then the second approach that we took was that Or meant light, and Choshech meant darkness, that when the light starts to break, that's the beginning of the day, and when the dark starts to come, that's the beginning of the night. We said we can't say that, because at Tzeit HaKochavim is the nighttime, and as it's getting dark, we don't say that it's nighttime. So then the Gemara's final position is, no. That God said, during the time when there's light or the luminary during the day, that's daytime. When there's darkness, that's called nighttime. So it's not about whether it's a noun. It's not about whether it's the light beginning or the darkness beginning. It's light and darkness. Light is during the day. Darkness is during the night. We have a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Halu kol kol chveor, that Shem should be praised by kol kol chveor, all the stars that give off light. Alma or ortahu. From here it sounds like or is at night. Because the kochavim, the stars are out at night. Hachi gamar, this is what it means. Halu kochavim hameirim. All those stars that have brilliance to them, that give off light, they should give praise to Hashem. Elamiato. So if that's the case, then the conclusion would be kochavim hameirim hu debo shvuche. Only stars that give off light have to give praise to Hashem. She'enam meirim, stars that are not illuminating or giving off light, lo bo shvuche, they don't have to give praise to Hashem. Vaktiv. It says there in a pasuk right before, halu kochavim, that all the constellations or all the multitudes have to give praise to Hashem. Doesn't matter whether you give off light or don't give off light, you still have to give praise to Hashem. Elohaka mashmalan. Oh, you're right. Everybody has to give praise, even kochavim, all kochavim are meirim, so that can't be the explanation of that pasuk, but rather, it is a conclusion that or kochavim, nami orhu, comes to teach you that the light of stars is considered to be light. The mai nafkamino, why does it make a difference if the light given off by stars is considered to be light? The noder mina or, it's for someone who takes a neder hana'ah from light, The Tanya, we have a Braita in Darim, an Oder mina Or, someone who takes a Neder Hana'ah, that they won't get benefit from light. Asur Boran Shel Kochavim. He's Asur, even in the light of the stars, he cannot get benefit from that light, because he took a Neder to restrict light. Now, wherever we have a case where Lashon Bnei Adam, the colloquial way of saying something means a particular item, by Lashon Nedarim, that's what dictates. So over here, that we say that the Pasuk teaches us that the light of the stars is light, that's assuming that it is consistent with what people would say. People say light, and they mean light as being that which comes from the stars, the moon, and the sun. If that's the way the colloquial expression is used, then that would be true. But if for every reason the colloquialism is different, then that's what dictates, because by Nedarim we say, Halach achar lashon b'nei adam. We go after what the normal way people express themselves. So assuming either there's no normal way to express themselves, or the normal is consistent with the Torah, then what the Pasuk is teaching you is that the light that comes from stars is considered to be light. Meitavei, it says in the Pasuk in Yov, Laor yakum rotzeach, iktal ani ve'evyon, at the or, the murderer gets up, iktal, he kills the poor and the destitute, ubalayla he ganav, and at night he goes around like a thief. So if ubalayla is the second half of the Pasuk, that means the or in the first half of the Pasuk means daytime. So in the daytime, he gets up and murders, and at night, he crawls around like a ganav. So here, it's pretty clear that the word or is used, hami dekamar belayla ganav. If night is the ganav, then alma or yomomahu. It's pretty clear that or means daytime. So halatam achikamar, this is what it means over there. Ip shita decha milta kinehora. If the item is obvious to you like light, anaf shod ka'ati, that the person is coming to murder, then rotzeachu, he's considered to be a murderer. Nitan latzilo b'nafsho, and then you can save the balabayit by killing the one who is coming into the house. V'misvekalach milta galelia, if it's uncertain to you, like nighttime, hibenecha giganav, then it should be in your eyes like a regular thief. V'lo nitan latzilo b'nafsho, and you cannot save the balabayit by killing the person who's entering over here. This gemara is premised on a gemara in Perex ben Sereru Moreh in Sanhedrin, which deals with a concept called imbaba machteret. Someone who enters a house by digging into the house, a tunnel into the house at nighttime. They tunnel into the house to come to steal. The assumption the Gemara says is if the person's coming in or tunneling in to steal, that if the balabayit stood there and came to stop him, that the person digging in is going to kill the balabayit. There's no question. He's going there to steal, and if somebody stops him, he's going to kill who's ever in his way. Based on that assumption, the Gemara says that if you see somebody above a machteret, you're allowed to be kodem, you're allowed to jump the gun and preemptively kill that individual. Because the assumption is he's either going to kill the balabayit, or if the balabayit's saying against him, the balabayit has assumed this guy's going to kill him, he can kill him first. And that's the din of Baba Machteret, that his nefesh is no longer his own, meaning he's given up his life because he's coming to murder, and if he's coming to murder, you can preemptively murder him. The Gemara says it's only true if it's clear to you as daytime. Only if it's clear to you that they're definitely coming for murder can you kill them. If it's uncertain, or if you don't know that they're coming to murder, then you can't do that. The Gemara gives, for instance, a case like that, which is if a father is excavating and digging a tunnel into his son's house. So the Gemara says that there's a natural affinity between a father and a son. A father would not kill the son. And because of that, we would not assume that the father is coming to kill, and you could not kill the father to protect that son, or in anticipation of protecting the son, because that's really not the case. And so because of that, that'll be exception to rules. So if it's certain to you that they're coming to murder, then you can preemptively kill him. If it's not certain to you, for instance, in a case where it's a father coming to attack or to dig into a son's house, over there we would not kill the person preemptively because it's not certain that they will come and kill. But that's a din of Abba Machteret, and the same thing over here. That's the way we're going to explain the din in the Pasuk in Ayyuv. That the Or Yakum Rotzeach Iktal Ani Ve'evyon. The person does it, if it's clear as day that he's coming to kill, then he is considered to be a Rotzeach, and you can take his life. But if Elilah, if it's uncertain, like nighttime where you have darkness, things aren't as clear, then Ganav, he gets the status of a Ganav, and he's not a Rotzeach, and you cannot preemptively kill him. Meitavei, the Pasuk says in Yov, Yechshechu kochvei nishfu, yikav leor v'ayin, v'al yireh b'afapei shachar. This is Yov is cursing the day that he was born, or cursing the day that all this evil befell him. And he says over there, Yechshechu kochvei nishfu, that the stars of the twilight should darken. Yikav leor, he will look forward to the morning, or the daytime, v'ayin, and it doesn't come. V'al yireh b'afapei shachar, and he won't see the rays of the morning, afapei, the literal word meaning of it is afapei, the eyelids. That's what we say in the brachot, that we say both in the morning and at night, whether it's hamavir shena mi'afapai, or mapil shena al-afapai is on your eyelids. But the eyelids, when they open up, slowly they have little rays that come into them, a little bit of light comes into them. So too, afapei shachar means when the rays of the light come. So Iyob says over here that the stars of night, of the twilight, should be darkened, and he looks forward to the next day, and there is no light because it's things are so bad, things have been horrible. That he looks forward to daytime, it doesn't happen. Amar Yor Yomomo. Because the first statement he talked about Nishvu, which is nighttime or twilight time. So the next one, the Or, it sounds like it's talking about daytime. Mar says, no, you didn't understand. Hatam Mela Tu Deka Light. Iyov is cursing the Mazle, cursing his Mazel, his bad luck or his bad fortune. Amar Yehei Ava. It should be Hiratzon. It should be your desire. The Litzpe Hachgaver Linohora. This person should search for light. Velo Lishkache, and he won't find it. So it's not a statement about daytime, but rather this is the condition or the curse that he puts on what this bad that happened here is Yechshehu Koch VeNishvo. That as the night approaches, the stars that come out of twilight will be darkened. Yikav Lor, he will look forward to light, which is coming, V'ayin, and it never happens. V'ayir Eb Afa Peshach, and he'll never see that light come. So he's cursed. The curse is in that way. Meitevei, another proof the Gemara brings from the Kentilim, V'omar. Ach Choshech Yishufeni. V'layla Or Ba'adeni. Says that, I thought that darkness was going to envelop me. V'layla Or Ba'adeni. But instead, Laila night was like daytime for me. Alma or Yomomo, that or is daytime. It's comparing it or contrasting it with night. So no guy says, no, Hatamachi Kamar David. This is what David's saying. Ani Amarti, I thought, Achoshech Yishufeni, the Olam Haba. I thought when things were not going well for me, or when I sinned, that my Olam Haba would be enveloped in darkness. Shudome Liyom said, the Olam Haba is like daytime, but for me it would be like darkness. Achshav, now that I know that I was forgiven, or now that I know that Hashem is on my side and done good things for me, Olam Hazeh Shudome Laila, this world, which is normally like night or darkness, Or Badeni is light for me. So Or is not being used again as a noun to mean daytime, but rather Or means light for me, and therefore it doesn't give us the answer that we're looking for. Meitevei Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bodkim Or, Arbasar, Le'arbasar, Ubarasar Shacharit, Ubishat Abiyur. You have to do Bidika, the night of the 14th. The morning of the 14th, or at the time that you're doing biur. The Gemara will explain this later on when we get there. It's not as important, but what you do see here is clear that or over here means nighttime. The Kamar Rabbi Yehuda bodkim or abasar that you check at night ubasar shachrit, and then in the morning then alma or ortu. It's clear here that the word or means nighttime. Shmamina. That is conclusive proof that the or means nighttime. Meitevei meimatai arbasar asur beasiat melacha. From when on the 14th is it asur to do melacha? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer mishat haor. From the time of or. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishat ha-netzach chama. Rabbi Yehuda says from sunrise. So the assumption being here that mishat haor means at nighttime. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov thinks it happens at nighttime you're asur melacha. Rabbi Yehuda says from the sunrise. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi eichan matzinu yom shemiksato asur be'asiyat melacha. Since when do we find a day that it's half mutar b'melacha and half asur b'melacha? The way you have it, a Netzach Chama becomes a Sur Melacha, but for starting from the night before, there is no Easter Melacha. So how can that be? That's why I say it starts at Or. It starts at nighttime. Samalei, hu atzmo yochiach. The day itself will prove it. Shemiksato mutar b'chilat chametz, umiksato asur b'chilat chametz. Erev Pesach has that din built into it. Part of the day is mutar in achilat chametz, part of the day is asur b'chilat chametz. Now, mikama Rabbi Yehuda mishat Netzach Chama, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is from sunrise, Alma or, the Gemara Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or Tohu. So it's clear that the or that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov referring to is nighttime. That's their argument. Mar says, look, my or, Amud HaShachar, or means dawn. So now their machloket is, when does the Yisra Malacha start? Does it start from dawn, or does it start from sunrise? Mar says, Yochi, the Gemara Lei, Hecha Matzion Yom Shemiksato Mutar B'Siyam Melacha, Miksato Asur B'Siyam Melacha. How do you explain their conversation now? He says to them, when did we ever find a day that's half Mutar B'Melacha and half Asur B'Melacha? Name Yehuda Nafshe. He can ask the same question on himself. What, just because he starts at Alot HaShachar, it's better than starting at Netzach Chama? He still says a half day with Malacha and a half day without Malacha. So Ha'ika Laila, the Koshari, the night before is Mutar according to both of them. So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Achi Gamar, Bishlam Adadidi. For me, Ashkechan, the Kapagi Rabbanon, Ben Yomam Alalaila. We find such a paradigm within the Rabbanon that they differentiate between night and daytime, meaning starting at Alot HaShachar. The Tanyo, we have a bright Gabi Tanit Tzibur. Deals with a fast day for the Tzibur, Amatai Uchel V'Shoteh. Until when can he eat and drink? Achil Amud HaShachar, until dawn. Tivri Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Akro Together, until grow together. But they're arguing about when Alot HaShachar is. So you can eat until Alot HaShachar. So we see on a fast day, the Rabbanim were already differentiated between before Alot HaShachar and after Alot HaShachar. So too here by Malacha, will differentiate between before Lot HaShachar and after Lot HaShachar. But where do we ever find a differentiation among the Chachamim between before sunrise and after sunrise? We never find that. Where do you find a day itself that they differentiate between before and after sunrise? So the response is, well, that day itself. The day itself has a crazy division. Has half the day is mutar and eating chametz, the other half the day is asur b'achilat chametz. So Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yehuda has a good answer for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's right. He's right. The day is also a little bit of a messy day. It's half mutar b'chametz, half asur b'chametz. So why can't I have it be half mutar melacha, half asur melacha? So Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer can respond this way. Amin elacha an amalocha dirabanon. You're talking about it. We're talking about a din de rabbanon here. V'atamarli chametz though, right? And then you bring me a proof from something in the Torah. Tadacha asar rachmana. Till this point, the Torah says it's asur. V'atacha shor rachmana. And then the Torah says over here that's mutar. Meaning that that's gzeirat hakatuv. The gzeirat hakatuv is that until this point it's mutar b'achilat chametz, and after that point it's asur b'achilat chametz. We don't have to ask the logic why. But if the chachamim are going to institute something, they have to do it in a logical manner. They can't just say, oh, well, we'll pick sunrise. That's a good time. That doesn't work. You have to pick something that's logical. Alot HaShachar is a logical division that we see in other places. There are paradigms for that. But Netzach Chama, where do you ever see a paradigm for that? Vidach and Rabbi Yehuda will respond to him, Sha'ot Rab de Rabbanon. Wait, even in Isur Chametz, yes, you have an Isur Chametz that's Midoraita, but even the Chachamim, they added on additional hours of Isur Chametz. So they themselves are dividing up the day, not just having Midoraita. Vidach and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will respond, Harchokov Davud Rabbanon Doraita. Now, when the Rabbanan add on those additional hours where you have Isur Chametz, like the fifth hour, the fourth hour, and the fifth hour, those are only to distance one from the Isur Doraita. They're not creating their own time period, their own division within the day. They're simply extending or expanding the Isur Doraita, the Gzeirat HaKatuv, and they just want to move us away from the dividing line that's Midoraita, so they push us back a little bit. But they're not creating an artificial division in the middle of the day. Whereas you're trying to create a artificial division in the middle of the day. So based on that, the Gemara says, I have no proof from this that or means nighttime, even though that would be the simpler way to read the Machloket. Nevertheless, we're going to read or as being Alot HaShachar. And Rashi says, then it's according to the one in the Perek Revi'i, which we'll get to, Makom Shenagu, that they had a minog not to have malocha on Erev Pesach. It's according to one who says they didn't have malocha, even before Chatzot, that's according to Tosafot disagrees and says it's according to one who says there's an Isur Legamre. It's not just a minog, but an Isur Mukhlat, and they're arguing about when that time for the Isur Mukhlat is, like for the people in the Galil, who always had it be Asur. So we have one more attempt of the proof, which is Ein Masin Masot El Chodesh Nireh Bizmano L'Kodesho. When they used to make Rosh Chodesh, they had to tell people outside of Eretz Yisrael when they made Rosh Chodesh. Every month, a lunar month, can be either 29 days or 30 days. We don't know. Now, a typical lunar month is 29 and a half days and 754 chalakim. So it's basically about 29 and a half days. In order to deal with this, we make some months 29 days, some months 30 days. And on average, it'll come out to be about 29 and a half days because you can't have a half day in the middle of the month. That the Gemara learns out from the psukim. So it's either 29 or 30. So each month, they have to be koveyad based on the riyata yareach when they saw the moon. But once they saw the moon, how'd they get the information to all the people outside of Yerushalayim or outside of Eretz Yisrael? So they have to send out messengers. But messengers take time to get there. And sometimes they need the information faster. So what they used to do is they used to light pyres on the mountainside to send the messages to the Gola. They used to light them on the mountains. And once they saw the fires lit, they knew that that was the day that they made Rosh Chodesh. Later on, the Chachamim removed that because the Tzdukim and others got involved and they started to play tricks. And lighting the fire, they basically were making the signal when it wasn't true. And it was impossible to know whether the signal was real or not real. So they ended up not using the system after a certain period of time. But this system was in place at one point, which is, the only time that you light the fires is if the month before was 29 days. And Rosh Chodesh was made on the 30th day, or what would have been the 30th day. So the month before was Chaser, and then the new month started. Because there, you're actually being Mekadesh something, you're changing something. The default status is that the month has 30 days. So if you don't make it on the 30th day of Rosh Chodesh, meaning there's a 29 before and the 30th becomes a new month, then automatically after the 30th day of the previous month, the Malay, the next day is Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to do anything, it's automatically Rosh Chodesh. So you don't need to light the fire if the automatic situation happens. You only have to light the fire if the one that changes the status happens. And that's when you make the 30th day into Rosh Chodesh. You only have a chaser the month before, you make day 30 into a Rosh Chodesh. So then they would light these pyres. When do they do it? The Or Iburo. The night after Iburo, after they made it into Rosh Chodesh. The Or Iburo, as Rashi says, is the night after the night of the 30th. On the night of the 30th, they lit the fires to show that that day was Rosh Chodesh. The Edim came on that day, they made it into Rosh Chodesh, so that following night, they light the fires, which basically would mean they light the fires on the equivalent of what it would have been the 31st day. The day 30 became Rosh Chodesh. The previous month was 29 days. The first day of the month, that's Rosh Chodesh. After that day, they would light the fires that subsequent night. That's the Or Iburo, because this day could have been part of the previous month or could be part of this month. Alma Or Urtahu. It's clear that Or here means nighttime. Shma Mina. It has to be nighttime because you're going to light fires at night. They're only a signal at night. And here it says that they light the things at Or Iburo. This goes back to what we said with the Ran before, that even when it says Or, it's not clear it means the night before or the night after. Over here it means the night after, whereas in our Mishnah Or means the night before. You have to look at the context. Meitavei Hayomeid Kol Alaylo Makriv Al Mizbeach. He was being Makriv Korbanot all night. Le'ora. When day comes, Ta'un Kiddush Yadayim Regalayim. Then he has to wash his hands. Because Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi believes that when day breaks, or when the day comes, you automatically, your hands become problematic, and you have to wash them to do Avodah. So now you see from this, he says, Ora, when the day comes. So Ora means daytime, because it's clear he worked all night, and then Ora means daytime. The Gemara says, Ora shiny. The word Ora is different than Or. Ora, you're right, means daytime. Or, we're not sure. Sometimes it means daytime, sometimes it means night, and we have to continue. The Gemara will continue tomorrow to bring additional proofs that Or definitely means nighttime. And then the Gemara will have to deal with the machloket that we saw at the beginning of the Gemara as whether Or is lele or is nage. We're going to have to reinterpret that machloket because it's going to be certain that the word Or means nighttime at that point in time.